This Saturday, for one night only, your life will be changed forever.
Saturday
at the Springfield Speedway.
Speedway. Don Crusher Woodard.
Don the Skunk Tremaine.
And the Team Tomomatsu Dirt Riding Duck Masters and the year's biggest
Monster Truck Rally.
One night only.
Bless the amazing.
The astounding.
The unbelievable.
Truckosaurus.
20 tons and 4 stories of car-crunching, fire-breathing, prehistoric insanity.
Whoa. One night only.
One night only at the Springfield Speedway this Saturday.
If you miss this, you'd better be dead or in jail.
And if you're in jail, break out.
Be there.
The whole New Year's thing, that's just a sham, Nate.
Oh, in what way?
All of it.
You don't try to make you buy, like, New Year's presents. You don't gotta, like, send out New Year's cards. It's maybe one of the least shammy holidays, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's those false constructs that exist only in your mind, man. You know?
Like, I gotta go out and have a super fun time because it's New Year's Eve.
Nah, just the whole point of like, it's the start of a new year.
I gotta watch parades because it's New Year's Day.
The whole,
is there parades?
The whole, it's the start of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing.
Oh, no.
Time just goes on.
Yeah.
It's just something that we created to make you feel better about
your
existence.
We started this new year by starting a war with Iran, so, you know.
Hey, they had it coming.
New year, same as the old year.
Yeah. Same as it ever was.
Another year of endless war.
Same as it ever was.
Poor people out there suiting up, going to fight for oil.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't get any of that, like, New Year feeling anymore.
No?
No.
Did you used to get some New Year feeling?
I don't know. Maybe. Like, oh, it's a New Year, I'm going to change some things. But, like,
last 3 years, my resolution has just been I'm going to try to do the splits. I still haven't done it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
I'm still like a few inches fucking from getting those balls firmly rested on the ground there.
We proclaimed on the show this time last year.
It didn't happen, but I've proclaimed it again. I'm sticking to the resolution. It's not like I haven't been working at it. It's just I don't know if it's physically possible for me to do at this point.
I did those James Brown jump splits that one time at the bar.
Yeah, you were hobbling around for a few months after that.
Yep.
That was maybe a low point of 2019 for you.
Yeah. No, that was probably like 18 or 17, man.
Oh, okay.
Could have been 16.
What would you say was the low point of 2019?
19 was a great year, man, you know?
Yeah.
Got married.
Oh.
Just doing my thing, you know?
Everything together.
Yeah.
Not for anybody else in the world.
Everybody else can eat a dick.
I guess
19 was my year.
Well, maybe next year you'll fall off that perch, and then we'll all get to laugh watching that happen.
Oh, I take it back. 19 was a bad year for my feet. It was a very John McClane
year
for me.
You got a lot of foot injuries going on.
Yeah, old left big toe is just about grown out.
Oh, he's actually taking it out. Yeah, but I can see it.
A little sliver of black up there.
You could just put your sock back on. It's the middle of winter.
Piece of the nail.
We don't need to be barefoot
here. That never grew in right. Yeah.
Well,
when that Asian man tortured me.
New resolution, 2020. Don't barefoot kick any flaming nails. I don't know. I feel like we could stick to that one.
How do you put out a flaming barge?
I try to stay away from flaming barges.
You know me, man. I can't sit back.
Garbage barges, don't go anywhere near them.
Sit
I can't
back
think of
a cut like that. No way.
Any time I've ever wanted to go buy a barge for anything. Is there a good barge out there?
Born to do this.
Anytime you're around a barge, it's just a bad situation.
Born to do this action movie podcast because I myself am
a real adrenaline junkie.
Hero. Absolutely, yeah.
That's for damn sure.
If I ain't wearing camo, I'm wearing a Punisher skull. hat.
Uh-huh.
I don't even say that I wear a hat backwards because to me there's no other way to wear a hat.
That's right, yeah.
And then
Well, I mean, if it's like a hat with a top on it backwards, but if it's a visor with no top, I'm going to also flip that upside down.
Duh. Yeah. Well, you think I never wore a visor?
It's just small print there. You got to get that small print in
there. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Like, why is that Adidas logo upside? Oh, it's a visor. He's got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, upside down. Yeah,
people are always asking me, like, oh, you going around with that Matt guy. He's always wearing Punisher logos. Like, why don't you ever have any? And I'm like, that's fucking Matt's thing. I'm not going to do it. I wear Monster Energy drink logos. That's my thing. We each have our thing.
Duh.
You can't just, like, steal somebody else's thing. I don't know why people keep asking me about these Punisher logos.
Either way, I wear Punisher. You wear Monster Energy. Maria wears it's
like
Affliction.
You wear desert camo. I wear Realtree camo. Like,
Maria wears snow camo. Oh,
you don't fucking cross those lines.
Oh, urban camo. That's the black, white, and gray. There you go.
Oh, that one's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I might start wearing some of that.
So if you see three people in a Monster Energy Affliction and a Punisher, come say hi. It's us.
Yeah. I'll show off my new thin blue line tattoo to you. It's just healing up nicely now. I'm going to start showing it off.
Let me throw out the propers real quick and then remind me. I got a story about Monster Energy.
Oh, okay.
It's baby oil and blow.
What story could somebody have about Monster Energy?
Oh, you're
going
to love it. It's a action podcast. Wham, bam.
Even in the new year?
Vehicle Palooza.
We didn't pull the rug out from under anybody this year?
Yeah, in honor of going to war in Iran, we're all about oil drinking super vehicles this month.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Yeah, that's why we chose it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Either way.
Tapping into the zeitgeist.
Yeah, hell yeah. We got our finger on the pulse, motherfucker. We're your hosts. I am Matt O. With me, as always,
we're constantly checking our hearts to make sure they're still beating.
A little bit. He is the Chuck Liddell to my Randy Couture. He is Nate Adams.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody. He's going for the Uma Pilata. He's going for the Uma Pilata.
Uma Pilata.
The only thing I know about MMA is that Joe Rogan always thinks somebody's going for Uma Pilata.
Yeah. Joe Rogan's pretty cool.
I mean, he's a fellow podcaster. We should
think we
shout
can get
out some love for him there. Yeah. I don't know why we wouldn't be able to get him on the show.
He's got to have thoughts on action movies.
Yeah, hey, Joe Rogan, next time you're fucking in Chicago and find yourself traveling over the state line to buy some cigarettes or fireworks, stop by our podcast studio.
Yeah, you can buy weed in Illinois now. They got, man, I passed by one of them on Friday. That line was still around.
Oh, they sold out of weed. There's no more recreational weed in Illinois.
I think they're just selling ditch weed.
Yeah, well, at this point, you got to have a med card. Nobody can buy any. It was a wild success, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
Did they really?
Yeah, they're really sold out of recreational weed. Like,
oh, Jesus.
They're tapped out. You can't get any more at the moment.
Wow.
Get out there and start growing.
Again.
You handful of very rich people who were allowed to start growing.
Yeah.
We're not living in a fucking democracy here.
No.
I hope none of you think that's what we're living in.
No. So real quick, when I worked at the B-dubs years and years ago.
Okay. That's what cool people call Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yeah, where do you go watch MMA, bro?
Usually at the Hooters.
Oh, my mistake.
I'm a Hooters loyalist. You know that about
me. That's true, you are. Either way, there's a young man that worked there in the kitchen, also named Nate.
Oh, wow.
And the difference between the two of you is he had a big Monster Energy logo tattooed on the side of his rib cage.
Oh, like where I have Just Breathe tattooed? That's
correct.
Sort of the same
spot? Same spot.
Okay, yeah.
Same exact spot. He also got really, really drunk one night and pierced his nipples with corn cob holders.
In the kitchen?
No, just like at his house or whatever.
Thank goodness.
But that's the story.
That's a pretty good story. And it is tangentially Monster Energy drink related. So you weren't lying about that.
You drink like 6 4 Locos and 12 Monster Energies, you pierce your nipple with corn cob holders.
Yeah, I got a cousin who can still get the old 4 Locos, the original formula. He brings them up over the border. Anytime you want one, just let me know. I can hook you up.
I'm guessing, wait, which one? Is it Jared?
Which one what? Oh, yeah.
I was thinking Jared.
Cousin Jared, of course.
Yeah.
He's got tunnels under Trump's wall. Don't worry about it.
You had me going for a second.
Speaking of having people going, let's get going on this next segment.
We got plenty of time, man. This is going to take us like 10 minutes to get through this movie.
Are you saying there isn't that much meat on the bones when it comes to the film we're watching this week?
You know.
Let's do the rundown here. The rundown this week is being brought to us by Illegal Mezcal, which is not
only
a delicious and affordable mezcal we've been sipping on recently. They've got a nice line of Donald Trump Eres Un Pendejo merchandise out there.
Wow.
Just you can buy like a shirt or a poster just calling Trump an asshole, and then the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood. It's nice.
Well,
it's
a nice a little thing they're doing. You.
Yeah. Double fuck you to all those assholes out there.
Hmm.
Fucking assassinating Iranian officials, getting us all into another war that's going to cost us a couple $1 billion.
You know.
The rundown is of 1982's Battle Truck, a.k.a. Warlords of the 21st Century, was the original title. But then they were like, I think if we just called this Battle Truck, we might get a little bit more mileage out of it.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Pretty good. I was pretty proud of myself.
Might get a couple more kilometers.
The runtime in general of this movie is 91 minutes, which just feels like a slap in the face. You cut just like 60 seconds of some of the driving footage out of this to get it down to 90. It's super easy.
Yeah.
That 91's there just as a slap in our faces.
You could have whittled this thing down to a clean 88.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I was really trying, I could have got this down to like probably like episode of a 1 hour drama, like 44 minutes with commercials.
You know.
I think I could have got that done.
Yeah.
Put me in the editing room.
I dare you.
Put on a pot of coffee. You know, we'll get this done. Budget and gross. You know, this is the Wild West of the early 80s and low budget filmmaking.
New
so
Zealand.
Who knows? Yeah, New Zealand's involved. You don't know the budget, but they say that it made $3 million domestic in the United States.
It's pretty big.
It opened a few other places. I imagine it made some money in New Zealand. There's at least like 100,000 or so people in New Zealand, isn't there?
I think so.
Yeah, they probably all saw it.
What's the time?
The director of this movie is Harley Kokelis. I think maybe how you do it. He, you know, he's not the highest profile guy, but he did also direct Burt Reynolds in Malone at one point in his career. So, spoiler alert, we might be talking about another one of this guy's movies soon.
Oh, shit.
Stars of this movie. First off, we've got Michael Beck playing Hunter, who's like a badass soldier guy who rides a cool motorcycle through the desert.
Yeah.
We saw him abusing women as Swan in The Warriors. Unforgettable.
That's what you were supposed to
do. It was an unforgettable episode.
Unforgettable.
James Wainwright is playing the bad guy, Straker.
Slapping
who's the guy who's in charge of the battle truck.
Colonel Straker.
Terrorizes everybody. He was also in Killdozer, so I mean like Killdozer, battle truck, this guy.
He's got a lineage.
He knew how to pick projects.
He's also in any show your parents watched from the 70s or 80s.
Good for him. He was out there getting work.
Rockford Files, in it. Simon and Simon, in it.
Wow.
Fantasy Island, in it.
Very impressive.
One, at least one of those shows with Michael Landon.
Probably in it.
In it.
Hardcastle and McCormick, I assume he was in it.
He's the Hardcastle.
He's definitely not Hardcastle.
I can't get one past you.
Talk about that. We might do an episode just on like season one of Hardcastle and McCormick.
It's fine.
Annie McEnroe is in here playing the bad guy's daughter, Corley, who kind of like gets away from him and starts venturing out into the world. She was Jenny in The Howling 2, My Sister is a Werewolf.
She's
a fine little film.
The annoying neighbor lady in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, she is in Beetlejuice, that's for damn sure. A little bit of an older version of Annie McEnroe at that point.
Woof.
Also, we've got Randy Powell in here playing Judd, who's a bearded guy who like is kind of the asshole of the movie. Kind of turns on everybody and does a heel turn over it.
Yep.
This guy was on, I think he was the star of the Logan's Run TV show, which taught me that there was a Logan's Run TV show.
That's a feather in your cap.
Didn't know
right
that
there
until right now. Coming up the rear, can't not mention
find
him.
Me.
John Ratzenberger is playing Rusty.
Rusty!
Cool guy, mechanic type sort. Mr. Fix-It here in the post-apocalyptic New Zealand. He's, of course, Cliff motherfucking Clavin from TV show Cheers. You ever heard of it? You ever fucking heard of it? Give me a break.
TV documentary Cheers?
This looks like a nice, friendly place.
Sammy, you're too old to go on a date with two twins on the same night you're supposed to marry Diane without Rebecca knowing.
Okay, Carla, I'll make you a bet. If this affects my major league comeback, I'll sell the bar.
Woody, give me a beer.
I think you've had enough, Mr. Peterson.
My chiropractor says I can't carry you home anymore.
Just give me another beer, you brain dead hick. I'll kill you. I'll kill all of you.
Oh. Whoa, settle down, Nami. Oh. Gotta save those pipes for karaoke.
I love you guys.
Tagline here.
Which launched the mega career of Dr. Fucking Fraser Crane.
That's right. As well as his wife.
Lilith.
Lilith, who went on to also be on Frasier a couple times, yeah. I think I remember.
She's weirdly hot sometimes.
Yeah. I could see why Frasier was fucking Lilith. Yeah. That's my type. I just want a fucking ice queen who I'm never going to like break through the outer surface of. Yeah. Just want to always feel rejected.
I like that she always had the slicked back hair like one of them
Robert Palmer girls.
Yep, there you go. See, that's man, my guy. Yeah. You got me.
I think we're both in agreement that Frasier's wife Lilith was simply irresistible.
I'm operating on like 2-3 hours of sleep, so I'm gonna be leaving a lot of hanging.
Yeah, now
thoughts.
You get on my level, man. This is what life is like. Woo! You got weird brain chemistry. There's a number of taglines out there, but I just threw all the ones that were attached to the original title, Warlords of the 21st Century, out there and went with the battle truck tagline, which is, after the oil war, out of the rubble of the cities comes battle truck. It's all you need to know. Fucking, that sells a movie.
I know we said Money Train did a good job last week, but I think we got a new front runner.
It did a perfect job right there.
Yeah.
Plot here. This movie's not much to it. Get a load of this.
Oh, no.
It's the 21st century. The oil wars have made a mess of the planet, and the land outside major cities is lawless. After Hunter comes to the aid of Corley, who has run away from the villainous Straker, he takes her to the peaceful community of Clearwater. Unfortunately for the citizens of Clearwater, Straker fully intends to get Corley back with his battle truck. I just added that at the end. You needed to say the battle truck at least once.
Yeah, opportunity missed.
Battle truck.
All right, better tagline than plot synopsis.
Yeah, it didn't quite have the 1-2 punch of a Money Train, but you know. Higher highs. That does it for our rundown of this movie. I hope now you got a gist of what we're talking about. Hopefully you've watched at this point.
On Tubi.
On Tubi, or maybe just a gritty VHS rip uploaded to YouTube.
That's all Tubi had.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same copy, both on YouTube and on Tubi.
Yeah.
The resolution looked a little bit better on Tubi, though, which is why I decided to load it through that app.
Yeah.
But we both clearly watched this hot mess of a movie, so let's get into bullet points where we dig through our notes here and go down one by one and talk about everything that stood out to us as we were watching this fine film, Battle Truck.
Battle Truck.
Bullet point number one. Battle Truck's a cool title.
Battle Truck. It's just fun to say.
It's fun to say, and you get like a opening credits thing here where like there's a voiceover, like radio broadcast.
I was going
to
say.
It's telling you everything you need to know. Like, we're in the 21st century. There were oil wars. But one of the first things
we love
see
that.
Is just the battle truck bearing down on like a dilapidated lemonade stand and just plowing right through it. And
right through it.
Well, there's the battle truck. Fucking
battle truck.
Delivers on everything it advertises, this movie.
Like, and they were smart. Sometimes you treat it like a horror movie where it's like, don't show the monster right away. Kind of like, hold off. No.
Just like 45 minutes of build. Like, you get a glimpse of a hubcap.
Yeah.
You get a glimpse of like some pipes spraying some exhaust.
Fuck that.
That would have sucked.
Battle truck knew what its audience wanted, and that was battle truck. I heard they added that scene in there just to get some battle truck satisfaction.
Who did you hear that from? Who are you talking about battle truck?
I've got sources. I got battle truck sources
in the battle truck community.
Also,
I was on the battle truck message boards yesterday, and there's a lot of chatter on there recently.
I was on the battle truck 4chan the other day. We're gonna make 4chan.
Never was. For the first time.
Nice. So that opening little sequence that we like where they tell you stuff to get it out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Get it out of the way in the credits.
That's
I don't
one of
want
our favorite things.
Characters to have to be like having
see what happened
conversations
was
with
there
each
was
other.
A war. No, just give me some mysterious
none of that
narration.
Clunky dialogue.
They achieved that by, that was actually the one of the main stars there, Judd.
Uh-huh.
He got on a ham radio and rubbed that off.
He could have been a ham radio enthusiast. Yeah. He wasn't like a burly biker beard type guy. He was one of those like finely cropped dad from Family Ties type
late
beards.
70s, yeah. Everybody had a beard.
Mm-hmm.
He ham radioed that from California to New Zealand where the directors were.
Did they really have to do it over the...
That's what gave
it the vast ocean to get
that sound.
That cool sound,
yeah.
I don't know how old timey technology works. I'll just take your word for it.
Like it was 20th century. Yeah, there's a world war.
I felt like I was Cliff Clavin building fucking radios, trying to get word out and trying to see what the word is, what was going on in the earth, the post oil war earth right away.
Yeah, word is
really dropped me right in the world. There's a lot of world building here.
Yeah. And the world is...
The world building is... We're ripping off Mad Max.
The world is... Battle truck shows up and slits your fucking throat.
Yeah. It's, hey, did you see Mad Max? That's what we're doing. Like, that could have just been the radio broadcast.
3 years ago, there was a movie called Mad Max that was weirdly popular.
So we went to New Zealand instead of Australia and made it again.
This is basically it again. Battle truck.
Battle truck.
Oh, yeah, but fucking, we're getting introduced to the truck here. We're getting introduced mm-hmm. to Straker, and one of the first things he does is just fucking slit some New Zealand hillbilly's throat.
Which was cool.
Yeah, it's like, this guy's fucking all business. He's not fucking around. He's looking for some diesel fuel. I know that right away.
He was like an evil George Peppard.
Yeah, a little bit of that going on, for you sure. Know? If, like, the A-team did a heel turn.
Yeah.
Get Straker here in charge of it, probably.
They do a good job, though. You know, obviously they give us Battle Truck, which we need in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they also introduce our main bad guy, Colonel Straker,
mm-hmm.
and his two lackeys,
well, yeah.
which are great.
Mm-hmm. He's got
what's that, Bone and Willie?
A couple of main lackeys, yeah. And then just a bunch of faceless soldier yeah. goons, too. So they're like,
well, yeah, he's got like
some cannon fodder to get killed.
But either way, his two main dudes
Battle Truck is like a big semi that's fucking just armored doll shit. It's like a tank and a semi truck had a baby. There's a lot of like cool turrets on the side where you can shoot machine guns out of. It's a pretty thorough battle truck from what I could tell.
Largest motorized prop in New Zealand history.
I thought you were going to say in movie history, and I was going to be like, that couldn't possibly be true. And then you hit me with New Zealand, and yeah. I was like, yeah, that's probably true. I would assume that that's true.
Nate, this sucker reached high speeds of 60 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, I'd be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
How much is that in what we do?
Shade over 40.
Well, that's not very fast.
Well, you know, when you got all that battle truck rolling down on you.
A lot of battle truck, that's right.
It's going to seem a lot of faster. So he's got his like main guys. The one guy's Bone the driver. The other guy's Willie, like the crazy wild dog
guy. He's just a wild card.
And they're great.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have a good one and two.
That's right.
And he's also got some chick he's pulling around.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And see what happens is they roll up on these two guys.
Quarterly.
And they're like, we got...
Is that a real New Zealand name or is that them trying to do like a... This sounds like it's from the future name.
Yeah, what was her
Corley.
Name? Corley. Corley? Yeah, Corley? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's New Zealand. She wasn't, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It was weird how they're like, most of these people are from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And we're even going to like adopt some of the things about this being New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And but then like at the same time, no.
They never mentioned New Zealand.
No.
Yeah, this was like a Hollywood studio movie technically, but they did use a lot of New Zealand people to make it. I don't know.
They made it in New Zealand.
I know, yeah. It's sort of a blurred line as to whether this is an American film or a New Zealand film, I'd say.
And if it's New Zealand,
keep track of that shit.
If it's New Zealand, does it still count as exploitation?
No, I wouldn't say
that. Are they a part of
that,
or is that Australia only?
If you said that in Australia, probably some guy would pull a knife on you.
And you'd get with, that's not a knife, this is a knife.
Probably that would happen to you, yes.
Yeah.
Before you know it, they'd be feeding your body to crocs.
Can I come clean with you about something?
Oh, God, I guess.
I've talked about it.
This doesn't get too personal.
To you before on the show, and I'm going to tell you again right now.
People open up.
Nate?
Uh-huh.
I got no idea where New Zealand is.
Yeah, we've gotten into the idea that you geographically are maybe one of the biggest morons on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it was like fifth grade they have you at least like memorize where most of the countries are. Those kids are pretty young. They could really point it out.
It's a country?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's an island country.
It's an island country.
Down there by Australia. They're both part of the
continent. Well, it is by Australia.
Oceania.
I just would have guessed somewhere by like Africa.
It's like smaller Australia.
I figured it would have been
Australia's little buddy.
I figured it would have been like where Casablanca was.
Okay, yeah. That's definitely nowhere near it.
Okay.
That's way up by the Mediterranean Sea.
That's where Greece is.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that one.
I know where that one is. So they are close to Australia, though. That's why they both talk like hill jacks.
That's right, yeah.
All right.
They're like, if...
Is it also a penal colony?
It's like a more extreme Australia. If you're like, I kind of dig Australia, but they could lean into being more Australian.
All right.
You'd get fucking New Zealanders.
Yahoo Serious, Australia.
Very Australian, yeah.
Taika Waititi,
yeah, he's from New Zealand. That's right. I think maybe, like... Even though it is sort of more of a wild fucking west in some ways, because it's even more isolated than Australia, the people might not be such insane assholes. Like, I think Australians have more of that, like, British chugging beer and puking thing going on to them.
I'm gonna
than, like,
crazy you, mate.
New Zealanders do, yeah, yeah. I think New Zealanders might be a little bit more chill.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
But that's just me being half ignorant.
I'm all ignorant. So what happened here? So they set up, they got this girl as well.
Yeah, she's not happy to be there because like they find two guys with some barrels of oil fucking in a car that's being pulled by horses. They slit the one guy's throat. They go to the next guy and they're like, "Doy, show us where your gas is, mate."
I said, "Slag off."
So then like he shows him and he's got some sort of cool underground thing where it's like, "Hey, my dad was in the government before the government's failed. Yeah. So we've got this hidden gas store." So then Straker's like, "All right. Now you need to die." He puts him against a tree and is like, "Hey, lady, come over here and kill him for me."
Yeah,
and
it makes like, my dick hard.
"I don't want to. I'm going to try to kill you." But there's no guns in the bullet. He's just like, I knew you were going to do that. I'm Straker. I got one up on everyone.
"Oh, you loopy cunt. I knew you was going to try and shoot me."
So sort of like, this is a long time establishing just the bad guy, and we don't even have a protagonist yet. But the sort of inciting action here happens when she's like, "I've had enough rolling around in this battle truck with these assholes. I'm going to run away."
Yeah.
"I made my family disappear."
Nice.
I mean, she just makes herself disappear, I guess. She does the reverse Home Alone.
She's like, I'm running. And old boy's like, "Oh, shit. My chick's
missing.
That
one girl we have is gone." This is probably going to make things a lot more boring around the old battle truck. We should go find her.
We get a nice long scene of her running or walking away from them at first with monster camel toe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
I did, yeah. Even on the gritty VHS, it was apparent that she had those pants hiked up. But, you know, she was out there hiking. Serious business.
It rides up.
Make sure those pants don't come off.
Rides up on its own. So she starts getting chased by old Bone and Willie.
Mm-hmm. But they're in, like, a little car, I guess. They got a little car as well as the battle truck.
That's the battle ute.
They got a name for it? The battle ute?
Yeah, you know, it's the family ute.
"My dad's soul floated right into the bloody ute. Can you believe it? I'm ute Uncle Barry."
So she tries to run away from it, but she can't because, you know, it's a vehicle and she's just on foot. And this is one of the first of many instances in this movie where we find out, like, if you got gasoline, you're going to be faster than people on foot, and you're always going to win races.
That is correct.
It happens over and over in this thing.
But what if you have a vehicle that's a little bit faster than a battle ute?
Than even a battle ute? Well, then you'd be fucking Hunter, because 20 minutes into this thing or whatever, we finally meet our protagonist. He shows up. Fucking Swan from the Warriors is on a pretty cool fucking motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's sort of like halfway between a dirt bike and halfway between...
A big wheel?
That scooter that Sarah Connor rides in The Terminator.
Yeah.
Because like the front of it also looks like it was made out of spare parts from that robot that they give Pauly and Rocky.
Correct.
But it's like more souped up than that like all fiberglass scooter that Sarah Connor rides around in. It's fucking awesome is what I'm saying.
When did we stop being so into robots as a country, huh?
Yeah, me never.
Like... That's all about, like, Asia's building these crazy lifelike robots.
There was that comeback in the early 2000s where they tried to keep launching those robots fighting each other, like BattleBots TV shows on cable. Yeah. Spent a lot of lazy college afternoons watching those things, but they didn't seem to take off. That might have been the last gasp of robots in popular culture.
I can remember going to Lincoln Mall as a young child, and there was just some robot at the mall.
Yeah, I bet that was like a big ticket item, too. Yeah. People were like, we got to go down there and see this robot.
As soon as we walked in the JCPenney's, it was just there.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It was interacting with people.
Like it could swivel around.
Just wheeling around on its own.
It could say like 10 or 12 things.
It was talking. It was fully talking.
It's fucking amazing.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
No, not now, 80s robot.
Might I offer you a drink? Tab.
Good grief.
New Coke.
Listen, not right now, 80s robot, please.
Bummer. Oh,
watch out.
Gag
for the...
me with a spoon.
Yeah, head for the door.
Grody to the max. Ow. Ow.
I'm really sorry about that.
Ow.
Ted, he said to it,
mm-hmm.
Hey, smell or see you later, alligator.
Uh-huh.
When it wheeled away and it
That's
turned and
cool.
said, after a while, crocodile.
I wonder if that
I was like, oh, God, it's self-aware.
Probably just a fucking like minimum wage employee with a headset.
As a grown up now,
I imagine that's how that worked.
Yeah,
because they
probably.
Definitely didn't have any like AI technology where that thing could pick up and like respond in a reasonable way.
Yep, no.
Past maybe like 10 or 12 things. Yeah. Very clever. A lot of smoke and mirrors there in the 80s when they were trying to sell us on virtual reality and robots and all those things.
That mall's gone now.
As are all malls. Rest in peace, brick and mortar commerce. Basically, Swan's on a motorcycle and he saves the bitch.
And he's like, you can come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind.
Hop on the back of my fucking robo cycle.
Yeah.
They ride off into the distance. And this is one of the first scenes where you say, like, okay, they've established that they're riding. Oh, we're trying to pad out a feature film runtime here, aren't mm-hmm. we? We're just going to be seeing mm-hmm. them drive. Yep, they're still driving away. Across the desert landscapes, there they go.
The only good thing
still
about
see them in the distance.
These long drives are we get
a
some of this
high energy score going on here.
The
some,
scrolling
some music,
high energy New Zealand synth score.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like synth, orchestral, and rock
all
and roll
thrown together. Which like if you got a nice scene where like this, where you're just seeing landscapes and you're seeing driving, it's kind of like this is adding to some ambiance and making this look like a bigger, but then also they just like whoever scored this thing like doesn't fucking lean off the pedal ever, so you'll have just like dialogue scenes where there's like three or four people standing around talking and it's still just like barely hear what the people are saying. It's like, why is the score so out of control right now in this fucking dialogue scene? There's good and there's bad to it.
So he brings old girl to his place,
real tricky,
and he's like, oh, real quick, I have to establish how I have gasoline. Give me that nozzle. I'm going to fill up my bike. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, how do you do it? And he's like, methane made from chicken shit.
That's right.
It's like, oh, he does have a chicken coop.
This
story checks out.
A real fucking just like, you know, loner. He's a real lone wolf, Matt. He's out there doing things on his own.
He's
he
a loner,
Donnie.
Doesn't
need anybody.
A rebel.
He tells her, like, you can't stay here with me because you need people. I don't need people.
I also enjoyed the fact that instead of like him being like cold as fucking ice and then her like one eventually warming him over and then him being like, all right, I'm gonna come clean about my past, she's just like being annoying. She's like, well, were you in the wars? And he's like, yep.
I mean, yeah, it seems
it
like
gets it out of the
probably
way.
Everybody was in the wars. The oil wars, from what I can tell, have decimated the entire earth. Or at least New Zealand. This could have been a thing that only happened in New Zealand and the entire rest of the planet just doesn't even know about it.
New Zealand had no idea the rest of the country or world wasn't in
barely
on this.
Barely even like made a headline.
New Zealand's like, oh, rest of the world's going to be shit right now, mate.
Yeah, but we don't like we don't have enough time to build a real backstory for fucking old Swan here. And so it's just like, yeah, he was like an old soldier, so now he's tough and he can hang out on his own. That's fine.
I was worried we were going to get like a little bit of like the Michael Biehn treatment, where it was like, oh, you're going to have to wait and eventually his story's going to come out.
I was thinking like also probably like whatever his tragic war story is was going to tie back into Straker, the bad guy. And it was like, oh, we're getting flashbacks now to he's the one that decimated my fort, blah, 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 or whatever. And it's like, nope, none of that.
Nope, He was in the wars, and he hates...
None of these people know each other. There's really no ties to why they should care about each other.
He just doesn't like people...
There's just stuff happening.
Going around bullying just folks.
Stuff happening on the... So, like...
He doesn't like bullies, man.
And she's like... She is, though, giving him, like, some fucking lines here, where she's just like, oh, yes, I don't have any family, but I did, and they were real good people, and then they died.
Yeah.
I assure you, they were the best people, especially my father, who's not an asshole and isn't Straker, the guy who's in charge of the battle truck.
I'll suck your dick if you let me stay here.
Fucking, she's lying to him. She's fucking feeding him a whole line of shit. So he's like,
we don't know.
Hey, I know this nice guy, fucking Rusty or whatever, who lives in Clearwater, Florida. It's a gated community. It's
gated
real nice.
Gated community in Clearwater, Florida.
I'll take you there. You could just live with these people.
Hello?
This is Frank Costanza.
What do you want?
You think you can keep us out of Florida?
We're moving in lock, stock, and barrel. We're going to be in a pool. We're going to be in a clubhouse. We're going to be all over that shuffleboard court. And I dare you to keep me out.
If he would have known, like, my dad, he's out there. He's looking for me. He's got a fucking battle truck. He would have never made this terrible mistake.
No.
Fucking all these people wouldn't have had to die when Straker and his battle truck come looking for her and fucking blow through all of Clearwater. Really, she's the villain of the movie, I'd say, because Straker is pretty fucking straightforward about who he is and what he's doing.
Yeah.
So at least he's got some integrity. This bitch is fucking keeping secrets, telling lies, and she gets a lot of people killed.
Just putting people's lives in danger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she shows up to this community, and the first guy that greets him at the door is fucking Cliff Clavin without the mustache, which always creeps me out.
God, no, I didn't like that at all.
Always creeps me out. It's nuts, because, like, he's a gray-haired old man, mailman, in fucking Cheers, and he looks like an even older man without a mustache. Mm-hmm.
But I think he's decently young. He's definitely not older than we are now when he's filming this movie.
He could have fooled me, man.
But people looked so much older back then.
Yeah.
You look at like 20-year-olds, they looked like fucking 35-year-olds look now.
He's like our buddy.
It's insane.
He's like our...
People look so good now.
He's like our buddy Pete from the bar.
Oh, in what way?
No, who's to say how old that guy is?
That's true.
Could be 25, could be 55.
Clavin's not dying that goatee.
No.
Evil magician black, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cliff Clavin's like, gee, Normie, you can stay here with me. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings her in.
And one of the first things he asks her is like, hey, we don't have any chicks around here. Yeah. You're single, right?
Yeah.
Girl, you single.
Yeah.
You got a boyfriend? You got a boyfriend out there anywhere?
He's like,
hey, you got a man?
One or 12 of us will try and fuck you. And she's like, I'm pretty down with going to Pound Town, so that's
she
cool
is.
With me.
She is. She's not just like, oh, whoa, that's a weird... She's just like, oh, no, I'm single.
Oh, very.
She jumps right on that, and I was like, is she gonna fuck Cliff
single.
Clavin?
Well, Clavin is all like, you know, I've got my own ball and chain. I don't want your problems, you know?
Yeah.
But he's just like, you got, you know, there's other guys that are going to want to... piece of that ass.
Yeah, he explains, like, this is a democracy here in this gated community. Everybody's got to vote you in to let you stay here. So we get a scene. Everybody's down. They're like, yeah, she seems nice, letter, except for Judd, who's like,
yeah,
we don't know who this fucking bitch is. Like, she could be anybody. Like, what makes us fucking trust her? I say, get her the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should have all fucking listened to Judd?
Mm-hmm. So Judd,
he's the only voice of reason right now,
starts to get painted as fucking one of the bad guys of the movies.
Yeah.
I gotta say, nay,
you're
only guy who saw through this cunt.
You're a dick. We all help each other. And he's like, she's giving us nothing. She's mysterious.
They're like, come on, Judd, don't be a stick in the mud. So he votes her in. It's unanimous.
We all trust this weird ass hunter guy, and you're the only
scene,
one that knows
like
where
some
he lives.
Peaceful music, and like people are doing farming or whatever, and like some of the young men are sheepishly trying to strike. And I was like, oh no,
it's
the next 45 minutes of this movie gonna be like life in the fucking compound and like people trying to court this fucking
it's that tis the
wet blanket
to
of a
be
lady.
Simple, tis the gift
yeah,
to be
yeah,
free,
it's okay because I was like, this is like old timey medieval court music we're listening to. Like, this is an original score.
Is that simple gift?
This is something you play
that?
On a lute while like a jester flogs his balls for like the king's amusement.
Hell yeah. That's how, if you ain't getting down like that on a Saturday, you ain't living right, buddy.
Yeah, that was a weird choice.
Bring
I
back
guess.
The cast system.
Probably just some like library music that was free, that was originally going to be a temp track, but then they were like, we got to put this movie out. Just leave the temp track.
Yeah, so that's playing the whole time. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
so I was like, oh, fuck. Is this, and like, no, like before I could even get that thought out, you hear the battle truck in the distance and everyone freezes. And I was like, oh, thank God, the battle truck's going to battle truck them right away. It's not like 45 minutes of life in the compound and then the battle truck finds them in the end. Oh, thank God.
Yeah. I just like that one of the guys walked up to her, though, in that scene was like, do you think I can maybe like fuck you later? And she's like, I don't know, man, like if I ain't tired.
That's pretty true to reality. That's generally how it goes out there.
Chicks, man.
Before and after the oil wars, apparently.
Mm. Amen. So, battle truck shows up to save the day, so we don't have to sit through too much more of this.
They're like, oh, close the gates and whatever, but they've clearly never fought a battle truck before because the battle truck just plows right through the gate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like how the battle truck's got some like flashing lights on the top of it just to add
those
to, like,
disco
the,
lights?
The chaos of what's going on.
It's like that scene of fucking Royal Tenenbaums and Eli Cash.
When he hits the dog.
Here I come.
Yeah, like, exactly what
happens. What those disco lights
They're tearing ass around. The fucking machine guns firing from every angle out of this thing. They got disco lights going, and these fucking little peasants in Clearwater have never seen anything like a battle truck. They're all pissing their pants, and rightly so.
Obviously, they got to. And so he just comes barreling through, and they're like, hide the chicks and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of us grown men have guns.
Yeah, no.
But no armor.
No, yeah.
We'll see if we can fight a battle truck.
Not a good idea. As soon as I saw that battle truck coming, I would have been fucking hauling ass out the back door. Just like, later, guys.
Yeah. I'll see you later. Which is what Coralie does.
Yeah. Because she's seen the battle truck before. She knows what's up. So she fucking runs away again.
And
she,
everybody's just
always
like,
running away.
Oh, let's take cover. But Judd's
her
like,
problems
oh, hold up.
Other people's
hold
problems.
Up. This bitch knows what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're like, quit being a
out
dick.
Again, calling her out again. Look how weird she's like, backed in life.
Yeah, look at her stupid whore face.
This could have been her last chance to like be a halfway decent person and be like, guys, this is the battle truck. We all need to fucking run.
They're here for me,
right,
not
now.
You. I'll just turn myself
but
in
no,
or we
like,
all run.
Get out of here and just let all these women and children get fucking slaughtered or whatever my fucking psycho dad's going to do.
P.S. I know you guys don't have much, but I stole a horse.
Yeah, Straker like shows up. He subdues everybody. Though he gets on the horn and is like, everybody put your guns down, quit being idiots, we got a battle truck, like I'm in charge now.
I already drove through 7 of your buildings. I can drive through the other 12 if you want me
to. He lays down the law. He's like, who's in charge here? And the first guy who pipes up is like, well, he fucking shoots that guy instantly.
Boom.
He's just like, no, you don't get it, idiot. I'm in charge. I'm Straker. One of the first things I want to know is, where are all the white women at?
Yeah, and by that I mean just one in particular. Because there's only like 7 of you anyways.
Yeah. He didn't know that, though. He could have found a fucking treasure trove of just like Poontang hidden down in a basement somewhere.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They had young
These
ones,
guys are all
ones,
pussies, though. They'd take him instantly to their women and are just like, there they are. We keep them in here.
Do it right here, sir.
So things are over for Clearwater. Like, Straker's in charge. Things are bad. Corley's running back to fucking Swan and his cool motorcycle because he's the only person who's had half a spine in this whole movie so far.
Right.
Well, I guess him and Judd.
So Striker's like, man, none of these bitches are Corley.
Mm-hmm.
This is pissing me off. And he's like, ooh, give me that 5-year-old. And I was like, nice, here's where the movie gets good.
Yeah, right.
And then he was like, where'd you get that necklace, little girl? And I was like, ah, damn it, she's just got Corley's necklace.
We're just getting one of those Rambo 2 subplots about a necklace.
Yeah. And so he's like, I know she's been here.
That's right. And then fucking Judd's just like, wait a second, I didn't like that girl from the start. Why am I keeping her secrets?
Yeah.
Hey, bad guy, fucking, I know where she is.
Yeah, you want to rub some elbows?
Fucking Swan like, brought her here. And like, you know who knows who fucking Swan is?
Yeah, that was
Cliff
awesome.
Clavin. Like,
Go
fucking find
boom.
Cliff Clavin and torture
Drops
that guy.
A dime. Like that.
Just in a second.
Snitching gets like such a bad rap sometimes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's like, if you can use it to like power,
protect
to
yourself.
Gain power and like better your lot in life.
If you're gonna fucking Die Hard Ellis your way into like being bros with the bad guy, just fucking make that stand.
Yeah, do it.
If you're gonna fucking Jeremy Piven yourself in Judgment Night, go for it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying here. There's a lot of bad examples.
Yeah, and it doesn't really ever work out, but I feel like Judd got further than anybody else with this strategy. That's over the true. Course of this movie.
Do you think we could have included Judgment Night into our battle vehicle movies because it's got that sweet RV?
They do have a sweet RV. But don't you worry. I've got that coming up on a movie set in Chicago month.
Well,
so.
Plus we couldn't add it because
to be continued.
We can't have two RV movies this month. I mean, we already have RV on there.
Yeah, that's right. That's another spoiler.
Yeah.
We're watching the action movie RV.
Where Robin Williams gets killed and gets his brain put into an RV so that he can still be with his family.
Ooh, whoever thought I'd be the voice of a talking RV?
And then Cuba Gooding Jr. is the new dad, and there's some awkwardness.
That was an ongoing bit between Dave and I for a while. Where
it's a good bit.
Where
it's a solid
Robin
bit.
Williams is the voice of an RV.
Yeah. What the plot of RV was.
Would have been a far better movie. That's all I'm saying. So Judd's like, hey, cool it, Slick. I'll tell you where she's at.
Well, I won't because I don't know, but Cliff Clavin does. Go torture him. He's my good buddy that I've known for years. We live in this small community together. Just go fucking torture it out of him. Yeah. Torture all the info out of him.
Well, Judd's thinking like, if he's not an idiot, he'll just tell you where he is.
That's probably true. Like, fucking clearly Stryker's in charge now, so we should all just do what we can to please Stryker.
Just be honest and tell Stryker. What's the matter with you, bro?
These people, no spines.
So Coralie finds her way back to Hunter.
And this is where the movie for a little bit starts getting hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, literally.
Right, yeah.
Because all the scenes are really dark.
Yeah.
They're not lit well.
They decided to start filming stuff at night.
When you're watching it for grainy VHS, like it's real hard to make out any of what's going on. There's the big sex scene here where like she's just like, I ran away from all those people you introduced me to and got them killed. Probably
Do
we
you
should
wanna
bone
fuck?
Now. And I was like watching this just like, oh, there's so many inky shadows. Are there any boobs out or anything?
Yeah, what's
like,
happening?
I wouldn't even be able to tell if there was.
Right.
So at this point, I don't even know whether to take notches off of this movie for having no boobs in it or not.
Yeah,
maybe if I would have seen like a cleaned up HD quality, there could have been titties flopping everywhere.
It just seemed like it was like a weird, like uncomfortable neck kissing going on.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got too. Yeah. I don't think there was any boobs in
this
movie.
So.
Which is weird. How do you make a low budget Mad Max ripoff in 1982 and not throw some boobs in it? Gotta get your money back somehow, people.
And you glanced over nothing, by the way. You're absolutely right. It was just like, hey, I got everybody killed. Would you like to fuck?
Like, and then it's like, a lot of fucking. Oh no, the bad guys have found us.
Yeah. And again, I got nothing wrong with that. This movie's wasting no time.
Let's get to some more battle truck action is what I'm saying. The problem here, though, is they're probably like on the battle ute. Is that what's hitting?
Was it the battle ute that showed up, or was it the battle truck?
Because if it was the battle truck, I think I would remember more.
No, it was the battle ute shows up.
Because also, it's still nighttime. They don't wait till morning. So I'm just like, oh, no, I didn't know it was happening in that sex scene. Now I don't really know what's happening in this action scene.
Right. But I do remember they start shooting a couple people. He's like, get your clothes on and then shoot people with this gun.
Get
and she's
on my
like,
robocycle.
But she does shoot those guys without pants on. And she's kind of like jumping around.
Cool.
And you kind of get a little bit of bottom butt cheek.
Wow, I did not notice any of that butt cheek.
I saw a little of it.
Oh, damn it. I need to watch this in like my closet. I need to take an iPad into a closet and just rewatch all these.
That's probably gonna be
possible.
Best way to see it. So yeah, then they get on the bike and they're like, well, let's get the fuck out of here. He's like, just so you know, I grabbed like 5 grenades from the farm that I had hid.
Future grenades though, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I had these in the war. And she's like, cool, I'm gonna do a shitty job of throwing them. And he's like, that's what I'm trusting you to do.
To be fair though, she is wearing very thick woolen mittens.
Yeah.
And one of my notes here is like, it's so hard throwing grenades when you're wearing mittens.
Right.
I'm never gonna try that. I'm gonna remember that next time I need to throw some grenades.
So one of my favorite things happens here.
Mm-hmm.
She throws the 4th grenade.
Uh-huh.
And it goes fine. Like she misses 3 times. This 4th one finally
gone. We've
goes.
Only got 5.
Finally goes underneath the Jeep. Or the battle ute.
Yeah.
And like it pops into the air and you're like, all right, here we go.
Battle ute flipped.
And then like in the next second, it's still chasing them.
Just inexplicably.
And I'm like, wait, no, they're done. And well,
I was
like,
was there two battle Utes?
No.
Now I've lost track of what's happening.
I was like, well, it flipped. They're all out of the battle Ute. And he's like, nope, they're still there. And he's like, now take that last space grenade and throw it at that tree.
Oh, yeah, we'll block the path. They won't be able to drive through.
And although she's been fucking up nonstop, she hits it direct hit.
Yeah.
And even though that future grenade under their battle Ute
that was
did
funny
nothing.
Because, like, it was so, like, just hard to see what was going on for the previous 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But this scene right here, it's so clear everything that happens.
Yeah.
When they're trying to do a special effects thing, this is when it's very clear what's happening.
Yeah. So the tree falls, and then they're like, oh, we hit it. And a guy fell.
But the grenade doesn't explode. Like, she throws the grenade. It's clearly still on the ground. And then, like, a foot and a half away from where the grenade is, a charge goes off underground. It's just like, ooh. Probably
close
should have obscured
enough.
That a little bit.
No. Close enough, man. We already established she's not very good at throwing future grenades,
no.
Right? Or space grenades.
She's got those mittens on. Also, the other notable thing I had from this chase sequence is that, like, I know that they were fucking, like, out of there pretty quick. She had to throw some pants on or whatever. But I like that they're just in, like, an extended chase on a motorcycle, getting chased by a battle Ute.
Yeah.
And old dude's just like, I'm wearing my fucking helmet. I don't have two helmets. She doesn't get one.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Chick's on the back of my fucking robocycle. Fucking, if she falls off, she's fucking dead. I'm protecting my dome.
Yeah.
I'm fucking Swan. This is post-oil wars. I got to look out for myself.
You see how good looking I was in fucking Warriors, bro?
Yeah, nobody messing up this face.
Goddamn
this
right.
Meal ticket.
So he's like, well, let's go to Clearwater and see what's up. And he gets there.
Or, like, wherever these people are, maybe as nomads now, seeing as their entire village has been destroyed by a battle truck.
No, they were still in the village.
Oh, yeah, because he goes and finds old Cliff Clavin after this. But they were, like, up on a cliff somewhere or whatever. Like, I think they were just trying to make it look a little bit more cinematic. Like, hey, go stand up on that rock so we can get some of the New Zealand, like, desert in the background.
The desert jungle of New Zealand.
Weird. Who knows what's going on in that? Like, does it look like Lord of the Rings, or does it look like all the shitty stuff in this movie?
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going on that island, apparently.
You need to see that Once Were Warriors movie.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
That'll give you a real glimpse into what New Zealand is like.
Okay, good. And a real glimpse into how white guys started having tribal tattoos.
And how to beat a woman
properly.
So we decide
properly. That it might have came from that movie.
Yes, exactly. I can't bring a movie up enough to you.
What's the time?
So he goes back to Clearwater, and Rusty's like, gee, Dad, you, honey, I can't see too good.
Mm-hmm.
On account of my hands all fucked up.
Yeah, they fucking completely Uncle Owen'd my fucking hand into a black, scorching fucking skeleton hand.
It's pretty cool, the reveal.
I'm pretty casual about it right now. I'm
yeah.
just sitting here, like, he's picking at the, like, napkin that Clavin has put on top of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, or anything as he's pulling this napkin off.
So shit. Yeah.
It's just
little, like, slapping at it like a little kid.
Like, oh, yeah, like, fucking sorry. I had to tell them where you lived because they turned my hand into a smoldering black skeleton.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
With the fires of my own forge,
cool,
ironically.
Cool reveal.
It was pretty awesome.
So they're all like, oh, man, this is terrible. Like, I guess it's game over. And Hunter's like, nah, man, like, we just got to fucking take a stand. You ever think about that?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, like, I don't think we could do that. And he's like, sure we can. Just build me a battle car.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff Clavin's like, I can't do that. I got one hand. And then that kid that, like, never heard of the Me Too movement and forced that kiss on her when she first got into the colony.
Yeah, she was showing up fucking gooed up, white on, just like fucking, she told Clavin how single she was.
He just fucking shows up out of nowhere in the house and is like, oh, I seen you build all the stuff. Oh, I can do it.
That's right.
And Cliff Clavin's like, hey, this really helps the plot move along.
There wasn't any scenes previously where, like, we saw Clavin building anything.
Uh-uh.
There certainly wasn't any scenes where we saw this kid helping Clavin build anything.
Yeah, no.
We're just going to take the movie's word on this one. Like, oh, yeah, I've been your apprentice for years.
Yeah.
Now I can just build.
And if there's anything that I've learned from Battle Truck so far, it's take them at their word.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Battle Truck's not going to steer you wrong.
No. Nice. Oh, man, you're full of them tonight, baby. So we start construction on the battle buggy.
Uh-huh. Or the battle, I was just like,
the battle bug.
I was like, what's fucking Swan doing? Why can't he help him build it?
He's not a builder. He's a fighter,
bro. We don't even need this kid. We could have just been like, oh, yeah, fucking, I only have one hand, so you're going to have to do most of it. I'll just tell you what to do.
Did you never play Mad Max with Matt Steiger?
Actually, no. That was a thing for many years. He wanted to play Mad Max. I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't want to find out what that meant.
You would have found out.
I knew he was putting together a lot of mismatched outfits and for you it, that was for sure.
You would have understood this movie a lot better. When you're playing Mad Max, mm-hmm.
One guy's a builder, one guy's a fighter.
Not everybody gets to be Mad Max. Somebody's got to be the weird guy with the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to be that
Is
little
that
feral...
Toe cutter?
Nah, Toe Cutter was one of the bad guys, I thought.
I don't know. I was never a big Mad Max fan.
Somebody's got to be that feral kid that could be a boy, could be a girl.
That's right, yeah. That kid always creeped me out.
Yeah.
I think it was also the androgyny that was one of the main reasons that kid creeped me out.
Yeah, it made me feel very uncomfortable sexually as a young child, you know. Should I be attracted or should I be its friend?
So I guess, is Swan just still hanging out while this fucking battle buggy's being built, and that's why Judd's able to like creep into old Corley's bedroom and be like, hey, what's up, lady?
Okay, so all right, so Cliff Clavin's like, yeah, sure thing there, I can build you a battle bug. And he's like, cool, like, do you still have all the gunpowder?
Norm, what do you think? Can we build this guy a battle bug? Come on, you got bring in Norm.
Absolutely.
What's with this fucking kid showing up? Yeah. Just be like, oh, my buddy Norm, he could
There's one person that can help me with the forge, and that's my buddy Norm, but I don't know if he'll do it.
We would have made like $10 million more dollars.
And he would have been like, they stole all the alcohol, I'll do whatever. And that's the thing, though.
Could have had fucking Norm drinking the fucking diesel, trying to get drunk, and everybody's like, it's very rare now.
Just huffing rags.
That would have been amazing.
So Clavin's like, they stole all our shit. All I got's metal. I can put like armor. I think I got a bulletproof window. And Hunter's like, I got a rocket launcher at my house still. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come with me. Let's go get that.
We kind of had to run out of there in the middle of the night, so I wasn't able to dig up my bazooka.
Right. So when he goes off to get the bazooka, that's when Judd's like,
okay.
Hey, girl.
You're on a little bazooka, yeah.
You look good, girl.
Climbs in her little trailer or whatever and is like, oh, we got off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, you're kind of pretty, baby.
Forgive and forget. Like,
yeah, I'm just going to touch you.
He's not. Why are you doing a Mexican accent?
It's not Mexican.
You're conflating Mexicans with rapists like Donald Trump again?
No.
Is this your bad hombres fucking bit that you've been trying to work into this thing?
This is an ongoing bit that I have whenever I come across those like children's. They like sell these puppets that are like nondescript, and it's just like, this one's a cop.
Who does
this one
puppet store?
Like a couple like weird kid stores in the malls, like the various malls. And there's one that's a chef, and he's got a mustache.
Okay,
and he just looks extra creepy. And I like to use it, and I make him talk, and I take his hand, and I like to stroke Maria's face with it, and go, "Oh, you look good."
You don't have to stroke my face while you're
doing
this. No,
you look good.
I get what you're saying.
She gets very uneasy with it. Yeah. I think it's a great bit.
Okay, still pretty racist.
No, it's cool.
Bad hombres.
Bad hombres. Fuck you up, man. So he's like full court pressing her, and she's like, well, I guess I can make you tea. I mean, I did fuck, but it was last night. I could use another good fucking.
See, I assumed she was getting ready to make one of those like old-timey teas that would induce an abortion.
Oh!
It seemed to me like she probably had a lot of experience doing shit like this. It's like, well, I was going to make some fucking abortion tea. Now that you're hanging out,
I can make regular tea, too. And then he's like, I'm just going to hit you. And he starts beating her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what?
That's right.
She's like, so are we still fucking, though?
Yeah. I didn't know, like, what was going on with this movie at this point. I was like, is a rape happening at this point? Because I don't know what direction that's going to take things in. But
no, he's just taking some of his frustrations.
Standard kidnapping, but it was just more violent than it needed to be, I guess.
He was pissed.
Yeah.
He was the only one with any kind of common sense in the camp.
He brought the battle truck into fucking his camp.
Yeah.
Got five guys killed. I think he keeps saying five guys. And I'm like, let's bump up those numbers, battle truck. He could have killed like a few dozen people probably.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, everybody thinks I'm the bad guy. I'm the only one that had any idea.
Yeah, so he's just going to continue doubling down on his, like, I'm fucking Straker's best friend now.
Yeah.
I'm going to tie you up, throw you in the back of a fucking pickup truck and take you to wherever the battle truck is and hand you over.
Of a pickup truck that has
looking for you.
Two tires and is pulled by a horse.
That's right. This is
hell yeah.
We're post the oil wars, man.
That's right. It's
battle trucks
time.
Basically the only people who have gasoline unless you've got fancy chicken shit set up like Swan does.
Hell yeah. So Hunter and Randy or Rusty show back up and they're like, hey, where's that girl I was fucking?
It doesn't matter.
They're like, ah.
We got a dune buggy to build.
They're like, Judd took her. And he's like, what? Like, how long ago? And they're like, I don't know, a couple hours
four
ago.
4 or 5 days.
And Hunter's like,
it's been a long time.
Hunter goes, Rusty, you build the battle bug. I'm going to go chase down Rusty. Or no, Judd.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes after him and he finds him. But like, Judd's like, oh shit, he's after us. I'm going to get the high ground.
Yeah, this is a fun little thing.
This is quintessential.
Judd's just like, oh shit, fucking Swan's coming after us. I'm going to take my crossbow up onto this ridge, shoot him in the heart with a crossbow bolt.
Yeah.
He falls off his motorcycle, like falls down a fucking hill. And yeah. I'm like, well, the main character's dead now, yeah. So.
And that's what Judd thought as
How's
well.
How's this movie going to end?
Judd's like, no sense checking up on that. Like, he's dead.
Like, does Corley fucking start Sarah Connoring it out from this point on? Like, growing a spine and getting tough, and then she's got to take down her own father and save herself? Is this going to be like a feminist story in 1982?
We get some of my favorite
things I'm wondering right now.
We get some of my favorite Judd here, because he gets back in the fucking truck buggy
mm-hmm.
and gets to fucking Stryker's camp, and he's like,
Stryker, boogie.
Yeah. He's like,
I'm your white knight.
He's like, why don't you open those doors and let me in, old Stryker? And he's like, hey, what's going on, buddy? And he's Stryker's like, you know, you got a point for fucking being here? He's like, I brought you a gift, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. Like, first of all, I killed fucking Hunter.
I got a tarp over her for no reason.
Yeah.
Let me pull the tarp back. It's your hogtied daughter.
And he's like, oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, hey, Bones and Willie, like, put her in the truck. I'm going to talk to my friend over here. And he pulls him into his like little office. And he's like, so you want to be in my group, huh? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'd like to be in your group. And he's
right
like,
here, I'm just having flashbacks to when fucking Dennis Leary throws Jeremy Piven off the top
yeah,
of that building.
Right. And he just starts
arm
lighting him up. And he's like, what the fuck did you do to her? Like, did you touch her, you motherfucker?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she smells like she's been fucked. Was it you? And he's like, no, bro, like, I just, like,
I like how he's,
like,
old
hitter.
Man tough, too, and he's, like, beats the shit
yeah.
out of everybody. And everybody's like, oh, this guy's too old man tough. We can't fucking do anything.
Because he's got a sweatshirt with the towel tucked underneath the neck.
I mean, yeah, he's got some fucking classic old-timey shooter shit going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, like, he knows what the fuck he's doing. So he starts lighting him up, and he's like, bro, like, I just want to be in your gang. Like, I thought you'd be mm-hmm. happy. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, cool. You're in the gang. You piece of shit!
Mm.
But, no, you're in the gang. And so he's in the gang.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to. He's casually killed so many people up to this point. I didn't know why he let him in the gang.
Yeah, he just
I guess he got beat in.
Yeah, he beat him into the
classic
gang.
Classic street gang shit here.
So now we go back to the mountain where Hunter's dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm alive.
Uh-huh.
I hurt, but I'm alive.
And, like, he wasn't wrong. The crossbow bolt is still directly in his heart.
Right. He tries to get it out, but he's like, oh, it's stuck on my heart too good. I'll just ride the motorcycle back to camp, which he does.
Uh-huh.
And he gets there and falls off immediately.
And then there's like this whole, oh no, he's been shot in the heart. Now we need to nurse
shot
him
to the heart,
back to
and
health.
You're to blame, calling you give love. Bang.
And this is the point where I'm just like, there's no reason for any of this, him getting shot in the heart and then having to go back and regain his strength shit. This is making this movie
Corley gave love a bad name.
Feel way too longer than it needs to be.
Yeah.
This is only 90 minutes, and I'm starting to think like we're heading towards a climax, and now we've looped back around, and now I'm starting to feel like we're spinning our wheels here watching Battle Truck.
I think their logic was, you know, we've made Hunter a little too badass. And if we give him this battle bug...
I mean, Hunter is that badass. What more do you want? What more can you do?
If we give him this battle bug, mm-hmm. no one's ever going to believe the bad guys have a chance.
That's true. Yeah, the battle bug is pretty cool.
So, like, we're going to weaken him up a little bit, and so he's
How do you take out a semi? With a dune buggy. It's like rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. It was a Volkswagen bug on top of a Toyota Corolla frame.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the least badass sounding thing I've ever heard in my life.
New Zealand. But it's got a It's got a gun.
Yeah, it does have a little gun. They got their bazooka. They successfully still have their bazooka.
Yeah. Well, he's got Cliff Clavin. He's got some big... Either way, they cauterize the wound. They get the arrow out, and he like slings his arm, and he's like, well, I got to go to war. Oh, there's another little scene in there where fucking Stryker gets with Corley, and he's like, I'm going to spell it out for you in case you haven't figured it out in this movie.
Yeah.
You are my daughter.
That's right.
And I was like, so she is his daughter?
Uh-huh.
But I guess so, because they said so. Yeah. If there's one thing I've learned, it's you take Battle Truck at its word.
That's right. And also, just in all of the like plot rundowns I saw, they just like mention it like all over. Knowing that, and there's just like, it took me a while to figure out like, oh, they're building a mystery what his connection to her is. They probably shouldn't just say it in all of the plot synopses.
Yeah, I was really confused, and I was like, did like Stryker kill her family?
It took me a while to even realize we weren't supposed to know what her connection to him was. I was just came in being like, oh, that's him, and that's his daughter.
Yeah, at first, like when she first appears, I'm like, well, this is like his daughter or what? And then like she gives fucking Hunter that story, and I was like, that's not as though, I don't know.
No, so, at this point, either I was way. Just like, fucking, you can't trust anything a woman tells you. Like, if they have a chance to lie to you, they'll lie.
Bro, it's post-oil wars.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lie and try to get your oil. Anyways, so she's like, I guess, yeah, you're my dad. And so Hunter's finally like, look, I'm banged up, whatever. Mm-hmm. I can drive the bug. I can drive the battle bug. Cliff Clavin, you got to meet me on top of this ridge when I say so.
Yeah, with the bazooka, right?
Yeah, you gotta be
there. We're gonna try to bazooka the battle truck.
And he's like, I don't know, sounds pretty crazy today, Hunter, but if you say so. And so he's like, I say so. Or what's the line from Mandalorian? It bees that way sometimes.
Yeah, it bees that way sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's saying it. It's all over the internet memes.
So he gets into the battle bug and he's like, well, I gotta out battle truck this battle truck with a battle bug. And so he just fucking blows into town.
Mm-hmm.
Just starts shooting up all the bad guys.
He's turning tables on them. Now he's making chaos. He doesn't have the cool disco lights, though.
No, he's driving through buildings, killing people. He fucking blows up their gas pump.
Which is the worst thing you can do to fucking Stryker. He hates that.
But it's a pretty cool fucking explosion.
Yeah, it's a real good explosion.
Yeah. And then he's like, only one thing left to do, and that's draw the ire of the battle truck.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He succeeded.
He does it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, we got a battle truck. He's just got a battle buggy. Let's chase this guy down at 40 miles per hour and fucking waste him.
60 kilometer an hour, thank you.
I will never know what that means.
He's like, let's run him down. And Bone's like, I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, go faster. And she's like, she just can't take anymore. Yeah. I need more delirium crystals.
Really do just do like a out of nowhere, like, we're pushing the truck beyond her limits. We shouldn't be driving this much. And I'm like, nothing like this has been established before. And I'm like, why can't you just keep driving the truck as fast as it goes?
Because Bone knows it doesn't work that way.
He knows the truck better than fucking Stryker does, so there's some contention here.
Yeah.
For the first time in the movie, one of his fucking men is talking back to him and not doing what he's saying.
So finally, like, it's coming to a boil. Hunter's got the battle bug parked, and he runs up the ridge. He's like, Cliff Clavin, are you here? And he's like, yeah, all the way up here, big good buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
pulls
good.
The bazooka out of his mailbag.
He's like, I'm going to start.
We're ready.
Right. And he's like, well, I got to shoot at the battle truck. At this point, Bone's gotten up out of the driver's seat, and he's like, I love the truck more than you do. Mm-hmm. I'll fucking kill you.
That's right.
Stryker's like, bro, I got old man strength and a knife. And I just cut the fuck out of
basically
people.
Dan Severn with a knife right now. Like,
right.
Don't try to fight me in the cab of this fucking semi.
Yeah, he's a mix between Dan Severn, a Mandelbaum, with a knife.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I guess Rambo. Rambo had the big knife.
He did indeed.
Yeah, so those three people.
Throw them all together. You got the bad guy for this movie.
So at this point, it's too late for the battle truck because Hunter's got him in his sights. And he's like, I'm going to shoot these rockets.
Yeah.
And he misses with the first one.
But he bazookas off like the roof of the back with that second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, that'll do well enough.
The goons, like, not like anybody up in the front killed who's Corley. In charge, but like
he doesn't know where she was at.
Blew up a lot of the goons. That's
what
for
if
sure.
she was in the back.
To be fair, like he didn't give her the helmet when they were going away. I don't know how much he cared. Like as soon as she showed up at his place, he was like, "All right, I'm gonna dump you off on these other people."
Yeah,
I don't think it's been established that he gives a fuck if she dies or not.
That's true.
I think he just wants to get rid of this fucking battle truck asshole.
He got his dick wet. He don't care
yeah,
anymore.
He did.
So yeah,
what's he gonna do? Have sex with the same girl twice? What's the point of that?
Yeah, sickening, even though there's only like five women
You've
in this world.
You've already pushed the limits of all the weird yeah. stuff she might be into.
Take
there's nothing
to
else
the
to
limit.
Figure out.
Limit! So Cliff Clavin's like, hey, what are you going to do now, buddy? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I got a motorcycle. I'll fucking figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, all right, be careful.
Yeah, but Clavin does bring up the point, though. He's just like, I'm not so sure you can go beat that truck on a motorcycle. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But Swan's confident. He's like, I'm going to make it work.
Because Battle Truck keeps driving at this point.
Yeah.
And he's
even
like,
even though it's
oh,
like on fire. It's got
like,
no roof.
He's like, oh, shit, he turned at the overpass. And that's because Stryker's like, I'm going to fucking flatten Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just drive through every fucking
it's
building like I should have.
He didn't just, yeah, he should have done this earlier. Like, I figure like that first scene should have just been him wiping out this community. Like they should have been mostly decimated halfway through this movie.
Right.
Fucking raise the stakes some. Like, oh, this battle yeah. truck fucking flattened a whole fucking town.
So fucking Hunter takes off on the motorcycle, does some cool driving, and then does a cool jump.
He ramps
into the, back.
Into the battle truck.
Yeah.
Because he'd already bazooka'd off the roof. This guy's crazy like a fox.
And like as soon as he lands on the motorcycle, just instantly takes his gun out and starts shooting people.
This
like
guy.
Han Solo.
Yeah, you're like, this guy was in the oil wars.
Yeah.
It's all true. All the stories are true.
It's a pretty cool part. Like, he's just like, bam, you're dead. Bam, another guy's dead. Oh, I dodged a bullet. Boom, you're dead. And finally, like, Stryker's like, fuck's going on back there?
Yeah, I better go fucking old man manhandle yeah. this fucking kid.
And even though this guy's like, quickly shot everyone, he's no match for old man Stryker's old man
Slow
strength.
But steady wins the race.
Absolutely.
Got in there. You got to stick and move when you're fighting somebody with old man strength.
Slow
you
is
can't
fast.
Get within their reach.
Slow is fast, Nate. Remember
that's right.
That.
That's right. Once he gets you in a bear hug, it's all over.
So he starts whomping fucking Hunter and fucking the truck's wild and out of control and Corley's just going...
Like, the driver's dead.
And
fucking everybody else is fighting.
She's yelling. I can't understand
bitches
her.
Bitches fucking wilding out in the background.
She's got a couple scenes where she yells in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh.
The bouncer can't break up the fight because he's too busy trying to get the girlfriend out of there.
Yeah. So.
It's that sort of situation.
Right. So finally, Hunter grabs a fire extinguisher.
Oh, yeah. How are we going to end this movie? We'll just have the good guy, the opening scene from Irreversible, the bad guy's skull.
Yeah.
Just beating his skull with a fire extinguisher.
Hardcore.
But if you're going to rock, paper, scissors it, I guess fire extinguisher skull crushings beats old man strength. That's the lesson yeah. we've learned here.
So he bashes his head in good. Like, they
oh,
got
yeah.
some cool...
He got some solid shots in on
yeah.
his very breakable skull.
Yeah, it's very bloodied and very whatever. And so, like, Hunter and old girl are like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So they just jump off the truck.
Tuck and roll.
And it's great, though, because we
you're
get, only, like...
You're going less than 40 miles per hour. We're in a desert.
Shade over 40.
You'll be fine.
Shade over 40. So, but we get a good, like, I'm glad they got out of there, because then we get, like, a good, like, 15 seconds of old man Stryker just, like,
mm-hmm.
yelling
yeah.
while trying to
clutching
hold
his
skull
his
together.
Skull
it's pretty
apart,
cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool scene. He's just like, ah! And then finally, you know, you got a
battle truck hits a cliff.
Yeah, you got a super vehicle and you got a fucking
gotta
country
drive
full
it off
of
a cliff at some point.
What do you think's gonna happen? Yeah, so it goes off a cliff and blows up.
Another great big explosion. They used a lot of fucking rocket fuel to make a lot of big balls of fire.
They had six different cameras positioned for this shot, Nate.
Oh yeah,
I learned that on the battle truck boards.
Most of them melt because of all the flames.
Probably.
Good thing they had that last one.
Yeah,
one shot survived.
So, everything's done.
Pretty much wrapped up. All the bad guys are dead. Literally every bad guy's dead.
They go back to whatever's left of Clearwater. They've given Hunter a horse.
Rusty's started to build the first new Church of Scientology, so we're getting that reestablished,
correct.
Thank God, in the post-oil wars.
Yeah. praise a la L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter's got a horse.
Yeah, it's fucking old girl's like, so we're like a couple now, right?
He's like,
now that my dad's dead?
Nope.
Oh, you're not responsible for me now?
We'll see.
Yeah, he rides off on his horse and the movie's over. Pretty cool, cool ending.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And she's stuck with one of those dopes from Clearwater. If one of them wants to take sloppy seconds.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you what, I wouldn't.
No.
Fucking Judd had his way with her.
Yeah.
You know she's had weird stuff going on with that dad of hers.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Fucking used goods right there.
I would see if Cliff Clavin and his weird holistic healing wife are into like any kind of cuck situation.
Yeah, I could see that going on, especially now that he's got that fucking little skeleton hand. Like,
It's all right there, buddy. I'm just going to sit in the corner and touch myself with the good hand. You do what you want with the missus.
Please my woman anymore. I've only got one hand.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I've been watching how you do it.
Oh, that kid. He sure was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. We're casting judgment right now, and that's unfair.
Yeah.
We should probably wait.
Cast some serious judgment over this whole fucking movie.
Where?
After we take a break, we're going to do it in our segment. I figure what we call it.
We'll come up with a name.
Judgment Day.
What brings you to air support?
Kind of like the idea of it. No guns, no kicking in doors, you know, just quiet.
Oh, yeah.
For Frank Murphy, policing the air has its ups.
Welcome to air support.
Got a runaway.
And downs.
Well, I just wanted to say, sir, that was my fault. I talked Murphy into taking us there.
You're supposed to be stupid, son. Don't abuse the privilege. Columbia Pictures presents Roy Scheider, Blue Thunder.
I thought it was illegal to arm police helicopters.
A flying arsenal that hears through walls, sees in the dark, and thinks your thoughts.
Wherever you look, the guns follow.
They told Murphy to test it.
Dozen of these copters and you can run the whole damn country.
They didn't tell him what it was for.
He's totally unsuitable for our purpose.
But when Murphy went looking for answers...
You got all this on tape?
I got every word of it.
The answer...
Uh-oh.
...came looking for him. They have the ultimate weapon and the perfect plan. But Murphy stole their thunder. He's not from around here.
Are you new in town?
Yeah.
He's come a long way.
You like with engagements, don't you?
Now, he's going to do to them...
Who are you?
...what they did to him. Charlie Sheen in The Wraith.
Opens Friday, November 21st at a theater near you.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Hmm.
Is that what we're doing, or are we doing something else?
Talking about that song that fucking Django Fett sings before he beats the shit out of his wife.
Oh, you're still talking about that fucking other movie from New Zealand?
Anytime,
I really like that movie.
Anytime New Zealand's brought up, that's where I go.
Yeah, that's the one thing I know about that country.
Yeah.
There was that movie.
You would like it. There's like a hot 17, 19-year-old daughter in the
finally
movie.
Finally, one thing that sounds remotely interesting about this fucking movie you've been rambling about for months now.
She's not very fantastic.
No.
You know, just kind of unremarkable. That's the word I was looking for.
So she's New Zealand hot is what you're telling me?
Correctamundo.
Like if I was stuck on a small island country in the middle of a fucking ocean, I'd be like, ooh, that chick's pretty fucking New Zealand hot.
I always love, though, when movies do that, when they're like, here's the main chick in the movie.
Yeah. She looks fine.
And by like Hollywood standards, you're trained to think high six, low seven.
Yeah.
But like if she was hanging out at your bar, you'd be like, eh.
Heck yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
You're setting a movie like out in the fucking desert or somewhere or something, and then you have like fucking Jessica Alba show up or something.
Yeah.
Working at like a desert fucking gas station or the shit they do in movies.
I don't believe
that. Like, no, she would have got out of there. That woman's not sticking around.
Give me like a little pudge or a lazy eye or like a unexplained limp, you know?
There you go.
Something I can...
I think the girl from Tremors, I think, is a nice baseline. And I'm thinking about these like out in the desert movies. And it's just like, there's one chick in this town. Nate. She looks fine.
Nate, that wasn't a chick. That was just Kevin Bacon. He has long hair in it.
Well, Kevin Bacon looked pretty good in that. Yeah. He's wearing those Wranglers. And I was just like, no way that guy lives out in this fucking shit
Wranglers.
Town.
Short sleeve button down with the sleeves rolled up.
Guy would have been shaking his ass in some sort of Vegas Mail review by now.
He's got like a heart tattoo in that, I want to say, too, because he's like something
Pure
Valentine,
bacon,
I think is his name.
Pure fucking bacon.
In the movie, something
that's,
Valentine.
That's peak bacon, I got to say right there. Tremors, that's got to be peak bacon.
I think so. Like, people will point to other more recognizable movies.
Like Footloose or something?
Well, even like that or...
Footloose is pretty good.
That fucking Invisible Man movie he did afterwards like that made
Hollow
way
Man?
Much more... Yeah. But like, fuck that dude.
Rennie
like,
Harlan joint.
He looked his best and he was the absolute coolest in fucking Tremors.
Yeah. Or that
Hands
movie
down.
Where he was the priest touching little kids.
Oh.
One of the two. Matt, Judgment Day this week is...
Yeah.
It's taken a little bit of a turn because...
Brought to you by the worldwide internet.
You know what happens out there is we go out to the internet and we like to dig up some reviews and see what you, the people out there, have thought about the movie. But as it turns out...
You got a Gene Shalit review?
There's not many people out there who have seen Battle Truck.
Did Gene Shalit see it?
And even less people have seen Battle Truck and then been like, you know what, I need to
let the internet know what I thought about Battle Truck.
There are no actual critic reviews of Battle Truck.
So Gene Shalit didn't see it?
There is no Gene Shalit fucking review. I did have to dig through.
We need to start incorporating Gene Shalit into the show.
I kind of felt like I was panning for gold this week rather than digging through
Keep
a treasure. Keep
searching for a heart.
So I had to throw out the whole, like,
review.
One bullet and 10 bullet review things. And I just, the whole gamut, I was just like, all right, how many people have reviewed this movie? Like 25 of them. I'll pick like three of these and we'll read them and then I'll give a sort of like a
aggregate
across the spectrum
score.
Idea of what people thought about it.
Okay.
So starting out here,
where
I
did
got
you find these? You'll tell me
a lot
probably
of different places. Yeah,
as you read
this first
them,
one's
yeah.
a 1.5 bullet.
I get excited
from Letterboxd user Ayn Rand Juggalo 1, which is one of my favorite internet names I've come across in a long time.
Now I love that name, but the end of it isn't adding up with the rating that was given, but go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so 1.5 bullet here. Ayn Rand Juggalo 1 says, this one was called Battle Truck, so I thought it would be promising. Zero bonkers stuff happened, though. The truck was so big, and they drove it off a cliff at the end. I don't know where they got such an awesome truck for such a mediocre movie. The version I watched had a title, Warlords of the 21st Century.
Uh-huh.
If I was making a movie and had a truck that big, I would have just stuck with Battle Truck.
Right, Felicio.
But I guess the director had a different idea. 1.5 bullets from Ayn Rand, Juggalo 1.
Sound logic. I'm starting to think that Ayn Rand,
with there?
Ayn Rand Juggalo 1's name might be more ironic than factual.
I don't know. Maybe we should Bing it and see if there's any, like, anything comes up. Like, oh, here's pictures of Ayn Rand Juggalo 1 reading some fucking literature at the Gathering of the Juggalo.
Reading some,
preaching libertarianism to everyone around.
Reading some foot fetish porn.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's your boy, Flip Flop the Clown, once again. I'm up in this bitch talking about education. Edubication. What else? In this economy, education, or college education at least, is a piece of shit. It's only worth to wipe your fucking ass with it. Why? Because when you're fucking finished, you got no fucking job. The only thing you could do with that college degree is wipe your fucking ass with it. And then at the end of the day, you owe, what, $30,000 in student loans. So, education, college education nowadays is very overrated. So, in my opinion, Flip Flop the Clown's opinion, is fucking overrated and a fucking waste of time and money. You're gonna end up owing the government $15,000-$30,000 of student loans, and that shit you can't not file as bankruptcy. So you're gonna be fucked for life. You're gonna have to pay that forever. Take it from me, your boy, Flip Flop the Clown. I'm out this bitch. Subscribe. Suck my fucking balls. I don't give a shit. Do whatever the fuck you want with your life. Peace. Whoop whoop, motherfucker. I'm out.
This next one is real quick and real to the point. I liked it a little bit more, but not much. This is a two-bullet review from Letterboxd user Whirling Dervish. Surprisingly short on battle trucks. Two bullets from Letterboxd user Whirling Dervish.
Oh.
So we had a couple reviews here, not so positive on battle truck, but there was one person out there willing to go to bat for the movie. Willing to go to bat to the movie by giving it a three-bullet review.
Okay.
This is a three-bullet review for IMDb user UDS3.
UTI 2. Mm-hmm.
UTI 2.
Oh, it's Saturday. We're making all those cranberry UTI jokes.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's kind of a go-to area for us. We've gone to that well before.
Oh, if there's cranberry juice around, you got to start making fucking UTI jokes, jokes. All right, this one starts off. If this is the benchmark for putrid movies, as one reviewer laughably suggests...
Yeah, dickhead.
Where does that leave Heaven's Gate, Showgirls, Robot Monster, Monstrosity, Dracula's Last Rites, The Island, The Saint?
I like that he put The Island in there.
Eve of Destruction.
Sorry, Maria.
Alien 2, Alien Resurrection, to name but 10... This is an energetic, low-budget, little New Zealand actioner.
Alien 2 is technically called Aliens.
Its only similarity to Mad Max is the post-apocalyptic oilless future.
Correct.
Koglis did pretty well within the constraints heaped upon him. I rather like New Zealand films. They tend to exude their own... They are our own unique little... Oh, God.
Oh, no.
This grammar.
There goes all credibility.
They tend to exude their own unique little aura, much like Canadian flicks. Pretty much known
like
as battle truck everywhere. Somewhat understandable. Who wants to refer to a flick as Warlords of the 21st Century?
Boom.
The film rips along quite nicely.
It sure does.
No denying the battle truck of the title is one mean mother of a four-wheeled monstrosity. Definitely the way to go in gridlock. Hero Hunter rides his own mean street hawkmobile. That's in quotations right there. Street hawkmobile.
Oh, that was a movie with a motorcycle very similar to that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And despite being shot pretty much through the heart with an arrow, is able to get straight back onto his dirt bike extraordinaire and take it up to Warlord Straker, who looks suspiciously like a reject from a Steven Seagal movie.
I don't know about that.
The duel-esque ending is superbly done.
Yeah.
Shot from almost the identical angles that Spielberg used. Yeah. It is equally impressive.
This guy knows about cinema verite.
If this is the crappiest movie ever made, then pigs already fly.
Get him, son.
The film is a 6, no question. Kind of left field and semi-haunting music, too.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of Tangerine Dream's work in the aforementioned Street Hawk.
Get him.
3 bullets from IMDb user UDS3.
Oh, I wanted to mention too, in earlier in the movie when they're doing the "Tis the Gift to Be Simple," and when the street
when
truck
they're playing Green Sleeves,
when Battle Truck attacks them, and they start doing the Battle Truck theme, but they still incorporate the gift, the "Tis the Gift to Be Simple" over it, and
That's
they
right.
like blend them together. That's masterful
fucking
shit.
It'll trip you out, man.
Masterful shit.
It'll fucking trip you out. All right, that's all I got from readable reviews on the internet, so we'll move into our final little bit here where we both give our final thoughts and our bullet ratings for Battle Truck.
Nate.
1982's.
Nate.
Battle Truck.
Nate, I'm getting right into it.
What is it?
What is the perfect score for a film?
5 bullets.
5
We've established
bullets.
That. Can't 5 do any bullets. Better than 5 bullets.
Now, I will... I'll most likely agree with you and say this isn't a perfect movie.
Okay.
Right?
I haven't said that.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go out on a ledge and say It's not a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But.
I'm following you so far.
But this movie knows what it is mm-hmm. and does what it's supposed to do mm-hmm. just fine.
Okay.
It really makes no mistakes except for not being a perfect movie.
That's too much to ask of anybody, quite yeah. frankly.
It just shows up.
And hold everyone to that standard.
Does its thing. As I said, take it its word.
Even Street Hawks isn't a perfect
movie. Mad Max ripoff? Nay, nay, sir. Mr. Coakley said he came up with the idea for the movie mm-hmm. when he was at a gas station in the gas drought in the 70s. Yeah. And he was like, this is just anarchy.
Right.
And then he saw the big tankers that would show up to deliver the gas. And he's like, you make that a fucking battle truck after an oil war?
That's right.
We got ourselves a movie.
Yeah,
and what did he do?
The dudes who made Mad Max were like, yeah, we had the same idea.
And he's like, no.
We had that exact same idea.
I'm going to call up New Zealand and I'm going to make this movie. And I'm not going to have a bankable star like a Mel Gibson or anyone for that matter. I'm just going to make a movie mm-hmm. on the merits of making a movie.
He got fucking Michael Beck.
It's a big get.
Cliff Clavin.
It had a battle truck, often at times.
Mm-hmm.
And the battle truck took action on villagers and other people.
Battle truck had a little baby.
A battle ute.
Mm-hmm.
There's other battle vehicles.
A robocycle.
There was many battles in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was shifty characters.
That's right.
There was no nudity, or at least we couldn't see it because of the edit.
No discernible nudity.
Gritty VHS. But it did some things well. This one stuck with me, man.
Could have seen Michael Beck's buns at some point.
It got in.
Out there on that farm.
It got out. It didn't kill you with dialogue. It didn't force extra story on you.
Shower he's built. Three
and one half bullets.
3.5 bullets for Battle Truck?
I enjoyed this one.
Wow, Matt was into Battle Truck a little bit more than I was into Battle Truck. You don't make any points that I'm going to shoot down. You're right. It sort of is what it is as far as Battle Truck goes.
Like, the name of the movie's fucking Battle Truck.
For a 90-minute movie, I feel like it could have moved a little bit faster, especially with all the streamlining of the story it does. So I think that's one of the main complaints I have over it.
It's not perfect, mate.
There's just some filler sequences out there. It takes some extra loops around the track. It doesn't need to, as far as I'm concerned.
It's just serving as a commercial.
But what it does
to visit the wonderful lands
going
of New
for
Zealand
it is it just has some cool ideas in it. Turning a truck into a battle truck.
Yes.
Having a robo motorcycle. These are the yes. types of things where if you would watch them as a little kid,
yeah.
your little kid mind would remember it and be like, there's this movie, Battle Truck, I used to watch when I was a kid, and it was like a super good movie.
Hell
it
yeah.
It was like a perfect movie.
Hell yeah.
So if it's 1982 and you're fucking out there just trying to get little kids into the idea of a battle truck, you've done your job, I guess.
I should have had toys.
If you would have marketed this thing, I could have got it up to 3.5 bullets. But I'm just gonna go 2.5 bullets, right there in that middle thing. Okay. It's not anything I'm ever gonna sit around and watch again. But you know, I didn't mind watching Battle Truck this afternoon. No. I would have been too depressed to get off my couch anyways. Might as well put Battle Truck on.
Right. I think if somebody comes out with a nice restored HD or Blu-ray or 4K
cut. Well, Shout Factory does have a double feature DVD that Battle Truck's on.
Ooh.
So it and you get that in another little movie. So if you want to see a better copy of Battle Truck than what's streaming on the internet, you can hit up Shout Factory. And
we might have to treat ourselves to that.
So coming up, we've said we're just doing more fucking crazy super vehicle movies.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to keep on doing for the rest of January. Keep on rolling around with us.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. What?
We
keep
won't,
rolling,
we're not going to be rolling,
rolling what?
Into next week, though. We're going to be flying into next week because we've got a fucking super helicopter, super chopper coming at us in our next one. Fucking, we're going to be watching Blue Thunder.
Oh, no.
It's got half of the fucking Wet Bandits in it. Oh, no, don't fucking... Don't
Blue Thunder.
This one. This one's good, man.
Oh.
This one's gonna blow your hair back, I promise you.
Blue
next week.
Thunder.
Yeah. Police have a super chopper, man.
Whew.
In Los Angeles. It's gonna have everything
City
you like.
City Angels?
City of Angels. Not for long. Not after it gets fucking attack choppered. City's gonna be in flames.
Everything is gonna be alright. Rock-a-bye. On Baby Oil and Blow. Stay single.
It's a long road when you're
And it hurts when they tear your dreams apart.